This is Devin.
And this is Elmer.
Welcome to the Forum Journey Podcast.
Devin, it's a beautiful day here in Centralia, Washington, right?
It is. Yeah, guys. Welcome to the Forum Journey Podcast. So, today we've got a special guest with us. Honestly, Lloyd, this is so refreshing.
Yeah.
And again, as executive director of the Pacific Northwest Association for the Church of God, Anderson, that you are having these conversations with various pastoral lead pastors and pastoral staff and others who are asking this question, and to hear, just your insight on that, and that this being an opportunity, and exciting, but recognizing that there are those who are also very uncertain and stressed out about what is it that God might say.
Yeah, and if I think what I would add to all that is that this is an opportunity to look at things differently, not just for the sake of survival, because I think some will see this as, well, we got to do something different to survive.
Right, right.
Which
was a year ago.
Right, but even now,
there's
a point of, well, we got to do something different just to stay afloat.
Yeah. Right.
I don't want us to do this just to stay alive. I want us to do this, hopefully, because we have we've been captivated by God's mission, and we see that it's critical that we become actively engaged with God's mission in a way that perhaps we haven't previously.
Yeah. Right.
And I think that's where the idea, and again, it's not like we're trying to sell a format or a program. This isn't like missional community is some magic.
Yeah, we're not coming in like, here's our new postmodern language and thought, or this is not the new Jesus movement.
Yeah. But I think the key is what we're seeing, though, one of the things that COVID has demonstrated, whether it's in the church or in the world in general, there's decentralization that's happening. There's a different way that people are relating to each other, all these things. And so it's going to require new social structures, new ways that we function together. And the church, therefore, has to respond to that. People are not just content with coming to a building, sitting in rows for an hour and going home.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They want something more. Part of it is human relationship, but purpose as well. Younger generations in particular, they don't want to just sit for an hour and be fed as mm-hmm. often sometimes happens in the church. They want to be involved with something that has purpose and meaning that's going to make a difference.
Yeah. And one of our disciples, Erin, when she was on, a statement that caught her was the statement of her generation, the 20s, and even younger and older, just somewhere in there, but are the most over-informed and under-processed generation.
Yeah,
there's so much information.
Yeah, we got the internet, baby.
But as far as processing that, and maybe even a purpose of what, and even asking the question, what is it that God is calling me to? What is it God saying, and what does He want me to do about it? Where is He leading me? Mm-hmm. We are just we get a dump truck load of information, and we aren't able to process.
Do you know Anton down in Portland, the 3D guy? I was listening. This was pre-pandemic. Devin and I had gone down to go meet him, and before we met him, I listened to a couple of their podcasts, and
he's a bodybuilder.
Oh, dude, he's huge. He's ripped. He is ripped. Yes. Anton, anyway, if you ever listen to this, you're the man.
Yeah.
And he's the man for a lot of reasons. I mean, he's doing Jesus stuff down there, just doing a great job. But I was listening to him and another guy on a podcast talking. As they were talking, the guy said something, and it just jumped out at me. He said, "I would never invite someone to my church." And he obviously got my attention, Lloyd, right? I mean, it's like, what? And he's like, because I would invite him to my home. He would be in my home multiple times before I take him to church. And the reason why is it's like taking him to a movie, and we have to sit there and look forward, and we don't get to talk. And I never thought of
rather than across the table over a meal.
Right. Yeah. All right. And I just, that just was like, oh my goodness. I hate when you young punks are right. And I just, because it is, it's true. And it's funny now, today, when Pastor Mark brought the tables in, when we were starting to open them back up, I'm like, yes, have some tables. And our maintenance guy goes, it kind of looks like a little, we got a little bar thing going on here. What's going on?
Tables in the back.
Tables in back. I said, that's what we want, Rick. oh, okay, okay, then we'll do it then. Yeah. But I mean, that I recognize sitting at the table is kind of cool, actually. So I don't know. I think sometimes we think about Sunday so much, or we have been thinking about that for 10, 15, 20, 30, some of us longer. And this is the way it should look like. And I think maybe God might be saying it could look differently. I don't know what that answer is yet.
Right. And it's not that what we do on Sundays is bad. This is not an either or anything of that nature, but it just means this is an occasion for us to do some deep soul searching and to really question, you know, very honestly and openly why are we doing what we're doing?
Inform what Dev and I always tell those who've decided to come in on this journey with us is we tell them more than likely you're really doing it. It just needs a tweak here and there so that God's kingdom can be able to break through. And because we're not really looking at adding to someone's life. I mean, that's not what we're trying to do. So where they feel we're burdened. And I think maybe the church is, they're probably doing some really things doing really well, but a tweak here and a tweak there. And it may open up a door where God's spirit could move in a different direction than what it normally would. So no, that's good. Lloyd, my favorite question, of whenever we ask questions is this one right here. What didn't you expect to happen, but has?
What didn't I expect
to happen, but has? Like being stuck here for 15 years in America? I mean, is that a part of it? I don't know. I don't mean to help you out.
Yeah, well, you know, I think, there's a lot to process there.
I apologize.
No, that's okay.
I'm really a deep person, actually.
Yeah. Everyone who's listened to any of these podcasts know that is not true.
But, you know, but I even go back to my experience in Germany 10 years ago. I didn't go on that trip
looking for that.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I knew that they were doing I heard they were doing some neat stuff. But sometimes just to be jarred out of one's own, you know, comfort zone and paradigm is really significant. I think that's the piece of this. And then I think, and you know, what's really, I think, fascinating with this as well, and I think this will be relevant for people who are part of Form that may be listening to this, is, and one of the reasons why I really appreciated the relationship with 3DM as part of this. 3DM wasn't just about, hey, let's just create some new structures socially for the church.
Right.
Because there are those who have tried to do that. I think there's an emphasis that if we're going to, it's not just creating a new structure, it's also then reorienting our priorities, and discipleship then becomes the priority.
Totally.
And that's, again, a surprise for me. I mean, you know, in theory, I could have told you that in theory,
right?
But I didn't know how to put that into practice. And so I think one of the surprises in the missional community journey, I thought I was going to be looking at new structures of the church, and in the process recognized that you can't change the structures until you change the hearts and the lives of people. And that's a discipleship thing.
Yeah.
And that was for me was not, I did not
expect that.
Expect that. But yet overjoyed because I think discipleship has been that elusive quest that anyone who's been in ministry has been on is like, we got a disciple, but not having a clue.
Yeah. Cause I remember the question when I was at the workshop and they asked me, you know, we're supposed to share around our table, what is disciple, you know, how do you disciple? And it was, well, I have my Sunday school class I teach. I have my Sunday, I have my Wednesday night class I teach.
Throw it against the wall, see what sticks.
And no, I really enjoyed those classes, Lloyd.
Well, I would say you did enjoy them, but I'm just saying we throw it against the wall and we'll see what sticks with the people that we're discipling.
Right.
Whether it takes effect or not.
Well, no, if they come, oh no, I didn't care about them. I just want to make sure that they came back.
Well, but it was more content.
It was.
Sure,
it was
sure,
just
it was.
All content.
More information.
Totally was content.
Yeah. And I mean, again, I mean, I'm reading
Bob Goff.
I'm reading Bob. Yeah, thanks.
I'm not even reading the book, but I know what he's reading.
They kind of look. No, they don't look similar. But Bob Goff, and he talks about in pursuing our ambitions that God calls us to is that more information will not create a different a transformation.
No.
And it's the pursuing out of this ambition that God has put on our hearts, that it's a pursuit that changes us, not more information.
Yeah. So what you guys are doing is like right on. And I think that's that, you know, so I think missional communities, and I'm not going to speak and, you know, just tell you guys what you need to be doing, because you guys are already doing this, but the reality
we're trying.
We're trying. Yeah. Right, you're right. Exactly. But you're focusing on what's really important is helping people learn and discover how to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's core. I think where the missional community piece of it comes in then is to say, okay, so as part of that, you need to be doing this in community.
Yeah.
Totally. And make sure that you're in communities where that can be fostered, or that can be nurtured, and where you can live out your faith. And so I think that's where missional communities, and that's not the only social structure that the church can have or should have, but it is an important vehicle that can be used toward that.
Yeah. Now, and Dev and I were just talking today just about the different, not vehicle, the different, what you call them?
Oh, pipelines.
Pipelines of just, or on-ramps. Mm-hmm. You know, where in Devon.
Yeah, missional community is not end all be all.
Yeah. No, no.
Right? But no. We found that it is a really good vehicle, as you said, for living a life that's worth imitating and doing it within community. I mean, within the missional community, we give access to our lives, and that access to our lives breeds about a kind of community culture of we do this life together, we serve together, we have this heart that God's given us. We are united in this effort and a part of this, I would say tribe. I mean, my missional community has grown from, you know, specifically in a certain area, but has even evolved and grown into a different way. One that I didn't plan for or control, but collectively as a missional community, as an extended family on mission, the missional community is serving in this way, gathering in this way, and it was not the way it started, or how even, you know, how I had planned for it. It has evolved in a way that the Spirit has led, and I couldn't have.
So you got some organic and organized.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't have planned it ahead of time.
Yeah, and I think I think often of what Mike Breen said, and I'm probably not going to quote him correctly, but you can build a church. Doesn't mean you'll get disciples, but if you make disciples,
you'll build the church.
You'll always get the church.
Yeah,
and I think we've obviously put the cart before the horse. Mm-hmm. Maybe a couple times in our lifetime, in our days. And, do you have anything else you want to ask him? I'm looking at the question. Wait, is there anything?
What is your current kingdom story?
Okay.
Where do you see God breaking in? Where have you seen God breaking in? And in that recognition, is he inviting you into that kingdom work?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. And, you know, my wife and I were just reflecting on this within the last like 2 or 3 days. One of the things that has really shifted for us is recognizing the mission that we have right where we live. Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, this is probably not rocket science, but this is certainly for us has been really important, because I'm busy. I work all the time. I travel a lot.
Yeah, you're on the road.
My wife has a full-time job.
You were just in traffic to get here.
Yeah, I was just in traffic to get here. Absolutely. Yeah. That's my life.
Yeah.
And I have every excuse in the world to just
say no.
Well, and just to see my home as my castle where I can, you know, drive up to my driveway, park my car, walk in the house and never have to interact with people. And I live in a very suburban, I live in the suburbs and on a, you know, typical suburban street. And, you know, you wave at neighbors and, what has happened though, and this is completely as a result of the way that God has reoriented our thinking toward mission. We are intentionally going out of our way to build relationships with our neighbors where possible.
Right.
And that, again, that may even sound in a different era, say 70 years ago, like everybody was, oh, that's normal. We
Did
that anyway, that's just not. And for us, you know, that was not our before God got a hold of our heart on this. That was not our way of functioning. And so what we have done, we know our neighbors, you know, across from us, next to us, in different directions. But we've made deliberate intent to to build relationships with them. And some of them have been amazing. We right. we have had, in fact, we had one family that was immediately across the street from us who, I mean, they're not like us at all. I mean, it, just on so many levels, they're not us.
Yeah.
And those would not be people I would normally
engage
with yeah. or gravitate toward. Yeah. I mean, because they're
just, I'm going to send this podcast to them.
I know, sure. I know, but I love them. And that's the beautiful thing. Yeah. They've even moved since then. They don't even live across the street. Okay. And we've had this relationship. And there's been some beautiful, they've invited us to like their birthday parties. And, and we've had conversations with them. I know my wife and the woman there have had some like over coffee, just amazing.
Yeah.
Because we've allowed ourselves to do that.
To be
and
open.
Yeah. I mean, we've even like at Christmas time, you know, we've done things like opened our home and invited people to come in for you know, whatever. But again, that may sound so simple, but for us, that's a reorientation and it's been, but we're aware and we know that we've got like three families. In fact, the new family that's across the street just had twins. And there's the woman just to the left of them who's pregnant. And our next door neighbors to the right of us, they just gave birth a few weeks ago.
We got babies.
Yeah, we got,
like, got a whole budding
Grandpa Lloyd
explosion happening. But we're aware of this kind of stuff. Right. And we're trying to have connections where we can, because you never know how we can touch them and how we can express the love of God to them and whatever. And we're just wanting to be open to it, not going in with agendas, not trying to sell them on anything, but just to say, hey, we're here.
Yeah.
And just to show interest in them. And that's the kingdom at work. If every person who followed Jesus, just saw their own place as a place to serve and a place to make a difference, man, that would have a ripple effect.
Yeah, it would
tremendously.
It doesn't really work on as far as church boards are concerned. That doesn't sound very attractive at all. We'd like something a little bit more flashy.
No, Lloyd does sound.
I agree with you, Lloyd. Totally.
What a revolution it would create.
Because you're right.
It would change our city.
Like you said, a generation, two generations ago, that would have been the norm. But it's not now.
No.
And I mean, that what you just described is my goal for my mission on my personal development plan, is to be a good neighbor.
Yeah.
And it involves that kind of stuff, engaging with my neighborhood. I took one of the ideas from Stephanie O'Brien in Minnesota, where on the inside of her cupboard is a map of the neighborhood, of the street. And she's got the homes there and their last name, and maybe if other kids, something happens that she just has some notes on. And I was there one day and I opened the cupboard to get a glass for water, and I see this map and I was like, well, that's your neighborhood. What? She's like, yeah, I don't have the greatest memory, so it's good. I was like, oh, I don't have the greatest memory either. And when my wife asked me, now what's that couple's name again? I'm like, I opened up the cupboard. I can know. We engage in these relationships.
And I think the key is intentionality.
Yeah.
Because I think we have good intent, and then we'll even excuse ourselves or rationalize it, I suppose, by saying, oh yeah, we waved at them or or whatever. But I think sometimes we just have to, and this is what has been, I think, important for us. We've allowed God to change our hearts on these people.
Yeah. That
we see them not as just neighbors or, you know, just inconveniences that we have to deal with. But and I don't mean that in the sense that they're inconvenient to us, but they could be if it means that it takes time from things that are important to us. So by being able to devote and whatever it is, and be creative and be open to whatever it is that God might be leading us toward. I think that's
exciting. Seeing where he's at work, and then where he's preparing the soil for even us, for opportunity.
Because you never know. Devin's got a great neighbor that he's working with and just been hanging out with. And I was at their house a couple weeks ago. And hey, Al, I remember who I am, because I didn't want him to pull the shotgun out on me, because he's now protecting his property.
Yeah, he's watching over us.
He's watching over us. It's like, Al, remember me? I'm picking up these packages to bring them in the house. I'm not taking them away.
And he definitely would ask.
Right, no,
what are you doing?
He was eyeing me up. And then my neighbor, we've been neighbor 15 years, and they've been our home because of missional community, and they've just gone through a rough time here. Yeah. Just in recent weeks with hospital visits. And I had one of the daughters go, well, my dad trusts you. And that was one of the greatest compliments you can get as you know, as a neighbor, that the neighbor has expressed to his daughter, he trusts you. And Lloyd, they've never been in our church, but they've been in my home multiple times, and we've had multiple conversations over the fence, which is kind of it's a low fence. It's not one of those weird things like the tool man or whatever.
Yeah, with Al.
Yeah, with Al. But hey, Devin, let's put a wrap on this.
Yeah, well, Lloyd, thanks for being with us. Totally. I appreciate this conversation.
Thanks for having me.
You're amazing. Thank you for your leadership in our statewide, but just leadership and just with discipleship, because I know that that's big on your heart, and just some of the things that as you encourage pastors and navigate that. So it's awesome. Great to have you.
All right. We're about two things, Elmer.
What are they?
Reproducible discipleship.
And kingdom stories.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
This podcast is produced by Ian Goodell. And if you would like to contact us, visit formjourney.com as well as Facebook and Instagram. We would love to hear your kingdom stories. And thanks for listening. God bless.